want to refresh your mind with the message that God gave us in the word of prophecy in the month of October. In the month of October, in the Communion Sunday, there was a word God gave us. And that's almost 2 months, 2.5 months ago, before many incidents that are taking place happen. So I just want you to really listen to this message, what the Lord gave us.
Sampali meeting ulama sikala kadik mochure sangil megele khani meeting ulama sikile khomochole sangibune khandi. The Lord is telling every one of us tonight, there's going to be greater and bigger things that is going to happen in this world that is going to alarm every one of us. There's going to be more calamities, more confusions, more economic calamities that will strike this world. There's going to be times of distress that is going to come upon this earth. But he says to be cheerful to the children of the living God. That he has overcome, and we are in Christ Jesus. And he has given us the anointing, the unction, to be his sons and daughters. And he says for us to be cheerful. When you see these things, like in the day of the apostles, to escape the tribulation, that we are going to be counted worthy to escape all the distress that is going to come upon the face of the earth. Thus saith the Lord, praise your holy name. Hallelujah. Praise you. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So I think some of you remember that. It was in the month of October the Lord gave this message. So I think it's very timely for all of us. And I think the Lord is good to us. That's the very reason that he gave us this message, for us to be aware of what is happening around us and accordingly to draw close to him. Let's pray. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bring before you, Lord, this evening all of us gathered here. And as we open your holy word, Father, we ask you that you begin to minister unto us in a very, very special way. That you open our understanding, Holy Father. As you open our understanding, Father, I pray that you reveal the things that are hidden in thy holy word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We are going to study something very important from the scriptures. As you say, our Bible consists of the Old Testament and New Testament. The Bible says the things that have happened in the Old Testament is the things, a shadow of things that are going to happen in the time that God has prepared for people like us who live in this day. Before that, I want to just highlight something. A certain inquiries last Sunday about the everlasting gospel. 144,000 servants who would be anointed by the two messengers, two prophets. These are Jewish people. They are the anointed servants. They would go. At that time, what would be there was the false beast system, and they would go all over the world to preach the everlasting gospel. And that would be the last gospel before the millennium rule of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because right now we are under grace. We hear the gospel of salvation. And here again, the people are going to be given one opportunity to, there is no grace, no salvation, but they will be warned of it. Their ministry is twofold. The ministry of these 144,000, they will warn the element of Jewish people and the mortal element of people that prepare for the millennium reign. That's what the everlasting gospel is. Then the other question was, the sister asked why is seventh seal is before sixth seal. The revelation of the sixth seal comes ahead of the seventh seal, but the fulfillment of the sixth seal comes after the fulfillment of the seventh seal. The sixth seal, six being the number of man, is what this whole period is all about. The tribulation period, that 7 years, is the rule of the number of man. Man stands for six. Remember the beast, 666. So the sixth seal would be fulfilled after the seventh seal. Sixth seal is open for two categories of people. The Jews that are to hear what the prophet says, and also the mortal element of nations that are allowed to hear the everlasting gospel. The numerical equivalent of seven, which speaks about the completeness of the bride. When she goes under the revelation, she get herself ready for the rapture. When seventh seal is open and Jesus is off the mercy seat, the time of grace is over. Because as long as he is there right now, God, we are under mercy, we can go before him, and his forgiveness is there for many people. The bride of Christ is gone, the foolish virgins will begin to go through the tribulation, they suffer the martyrdom. So I think that answers the question. Today we are going to study this man, Abraham. The Abraham is a resemblance of the story of the bride of Christ in our time. You have to listen to this word very carefully, because Abraham is the story of Abraham is the story of the bride of Christ in our time. In Genesis chapter 11, it says Terah lived 70 years and begat Abram. Spelling is Abram, Noah, Nahor, and Haran. Now these are the generations of Terah. The Terah begat Abram, Noah, and Haran, and Haran begat Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of nativity, his nativity, in Ur of Chaldees. So what happens here, he says, it speaks about the Terah, which is come from the Seth's clan, the Seth's genealogy. And then he had three sons. It's mentioned one son died, Haran, and he had a son called Lot. And they were in the land called land of Ur of Chaldees. 11:29-32 says, and Abraham and Noah took them wives, and the name of Abraham's wife was Sarai, and the name of Noah's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran, and the father of Milcah, and the father of Ishchai. But Sarah was barren, she had no child. And Sarah took Abraham's son, and Lot was Haran's sons. And Sarah, his daughter-in-law, his son Abraham's wife, and they went forth from Ur. Now remember, these people were in Ur. They moved away from Ur of Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. They came to Haran and dwelt in there. From Ur of Chaldees they come to Haran and lived there. And the days of Terah was 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of the country, from kindred, and from thy father's house, unto the land I will show you. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. So Abraham departed as the Lord has spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. A lot of people have misconception. When God spoke to Abraham, he was in Ur of Chaldees. He was not in Ur of Chaldees. He was in Haran when God spoke to him. So he came to him when he was in Haran, and Haran is far away. I'll show the map here, which I able to get an interesting book with maps of Jewish things, and I was able to scan this. So you see here, this is Ur of Chaldees, present day Iraq. This is the Baghdad here, this is Babylon, this is Ur of Chaldees. So Terah, except the Haran who died, Terah and other two sons, their wives, they all moved from here. They came to this place. This is Haran. This is Haran. So here, from here only they came to Abraham was asked, when God, when he was here, God spoke to him and says, get out of that place. So it's not here that God, Abraham spoke to him, God spoke to Abraham, it is when he came here. So from here, Abraham leaves with his wife, with the nephew Lot, and all the belongings he leaves from here towards the, this is Israel, this area is Israel. Can see? Yeah, okay. This, so you can see the journey of Abraham. So he says path of Abraham. This was I found a book which all Yeah. This is in Turkey, yeah. Present day Turkey. It's Turkey here, yeah. It's just Turkey here. Haran is in Turkey. This is the Turkey border. Yeah. So here you find the Euphrates, this river. So here from when he was here, that God came to Abraham and says, told him, get out of that place and come to the land which he shows. So, and Abraham was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, and I am the Lord, I am the Almighty God, walk before perfect. Now remember, Abraham now goes from here, comes towards here, and then comes the message from God, and said that when Abraham was 90 years old, and nine, almost close to 100, the Lord appeared unto him, unto Abraham, and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me, be thou perfect. So Abraham is asked, God is asking Abraham that he need to have a more perfection in his life, because he is going to fulfill his covenant. And I will make my covenant between me and thee. There is covenant between him and Abraham, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee. Now God talks to Abraham, a covenant. Thou shalt be a father of many nations, and neither shall thy name be no more called Abraham, but shall be named called Abraham, father of many nations. So what happens here, here comes Abraham, when he comes to this promised land, there are new things are going to take place. First of all, God said, told him he wants perfection in his life. And towards that, God began to change the name Abraham to Abraham, which is a name given by God. Right? You remember God always changed the names. Remember Jacob, what happened to him? God changed his name. So he said, for father of many nations I make thee, and I will make thee exceedingly fruitful and make nations of thee, and the king shall come out of this. Now here God says, after he make the name change, that he says the fulfillment of the covenant will begin to take place. In the same way in our lives also, God call us. When God call us, he brings us to a different realm. When the calling of God comes to us, like Abraham, you know, you move away from a particular area, not geographically, a status, and then God begin to take control of your life. And then also God tells to take the name that he has for you and me. You know, now we have our different names. There are different names, have a different meanings. These names have been given by our parents with a different meanings, and we stand for those names. But when we become children of God, God begins to activate the purpose of that name that he has for you and me. Do you know that? That you and I are going to have new names? That's what the book of Revelation says. That God has a particular new name for us, each one of us. And when you come to the realm of God, when you come under the God's umbrella, then you are going to demonstrate, you would still not have that name, but you would going to demonstrate the very things of that name when you are really going to come and take that name. That's what the Bible says, that we will have new names. So Abraham was given that name, and it is a name that was given by the Almighty. And he said, I will make thee exceedingly fruitful and make thee nations of thee. Nations of thee and kings shall come. Now remember step by step how the Lord is dealing with him. Abraham is reminded of the original sin. God takes him back. And God said to Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant before thee, before. Therefore thou and thy seed after their generation. This is my covenant, ye shall keep between me and you, thy seed after thee. Every man child among you should be circumcised. Now here, you know, we can see the way the Lord is holding Abraham in his hand and taking towards different realms. And once he told his change his name, he tells Abraham, there's another responsibility you have to do. That is to circumcise. And I think you know what is circumcision. And I think I did a study some time ago about circumcision. I think there are a lot of information available in the internet about the circumcision, benefits of the circumcision. So ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin. It shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And you know, in fact you remember, there's a point in the time of Moses. When Moses was, one occasion God says in the Bible, God was trying to kill him. He was trying to find him and trying to kill Moses. Why? Then what did his wife do? His wife took a small stone and he has two sons and she circumcised them and said, bloody man you are. Remember that? In the scriptures, because he failed to circumcise his own two sons. And wife knew when God was trying to really deal with Moses on that. And then she took a stone and circumcised those two children and said, bloody man you are. So what happens is God reminds Abraham what happened in the Garden of Eden and what was responsible for that. And he says, if you are going to begin a walk with me, it is important that you understand what is the importance of circumcision. I know today two religious groups circumcise Jews and Muslims circumcise their children. And in fact, most of the people in America, 90% of the children in America, they circumcise for medical reasons. And I think that's very important. There's medical, it's good, the doctor says. But apart from that, this is a very, very clear indication that Abraham is reminded that the original sin that Adam and Eve fell for. That's the very reason. And if any people who doesn't believe in this original sin, is a very clear indication, ask God, what is the purpose of this? So God, Abraham reminded of this, why human being, why Adam and Eve fell, and he was reminded to do that, and that is why you find today a Jewish and children of Abraham, particularly the Ishmael's people and Isaac people, very like religiously do this. And I think you can remember that we discuss about the original sin, what caused the original sin, what happened to the blood system in you and me, what we have this aspect. And that's why the difference today, these particular Jews, very religious about this, and so are Muslims. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plain of Mamre, and he sat there in the tent door at the heat of the day. Now it's interesting here. He has done that. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plain of Burma, Murabai, and he sat in the day, tent door in the heat of the day, in the noontime. And he lifted up his eyes, look, lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. This particular chapter is sometimes, these Trinitarians take this and show this as, God is three, because since the Lord appeared to him in the plain and he lifted his eyes, lo, three men stood. So the Trinitarian teach this is the Trinity. This is the Trinity that came to saw Abraham. If you go to all these many denominational churches, they say this is one of the scriptures they bring and say, didn't I tell you God is the three persons? This is a very clear indication. Because they don't understand the scripture properly, that's what they say. So he lifted his eyes, look, behold, three men stood, and when he saw them, he ran to meet them at the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. But look, next verse, and say, Lord, my Lord. Now Abraham does not address them as in plural form. He says, my Lord. So he is specifically identifying somebody whom he says, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. So Abraham, though three men stood, came behind with towards him, he identifies a particular person and says, my Lord. And they said unto him, where is now here? When it comes to this verse, it's again plural. And say, they say unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. Now, look at the next. You see, this is where a lot of people get confused. This is plural. Next verse. Chapter 18, verse 10 says, and he, referring to the Lord, and I will certainly return to thee according to the time of life. Remember, this is where Adam and Eve messed up. The time of life. The time of life is which is what Adam and Eve broken when God designed for them a time of life to be fruitful. That's exactly what God is trying to teach Abraham with regard to the timing. And I will certainly return to thee according to time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife shall have a son. In other words, the Lord appears to Abraham and brings the message and speaks the word to him and says there would be a play time according to the time of life. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind. Right? Remember this verse. As we go through this study, remember this particular verse. Verse chapter 18, verse 11. And Abraham and Sarah were old, well stricken in age. They were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of woman. I don't need to explain this. Most of the ladies here understand what it means. After the manner of woman, after women pass certain age, then that beyond that there is no possibility of conception or childbirth. I think scientifically it's proven. As the age, we pass that age barrier. So that says if they were very old, stricken in age, it ceased to be with Sarah in the manner of women. Remember this verse as we go. And therefore Sarah laughed with herself, saying, remember again, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being also old? You know, she said, we are old, shall I have pleasure, and my Lord also being so old? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Surely I shall bear a child, which I am old. Then he says, chapter 18, verse 14. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, again the Lord is telling, message of the word. The word is, God is speaking the word. At the appointed time, I will return to thee according to the time of life. Again, God bring this verse, according to the time of life, Sarah will have a son. A message comes once again to Abraham and says, according to the time of life, Sarah will have a son. And Abraham journeyed. Now see, that was the promise. Now God speaks the word. Now, I want to show you something here. Remember, God appeared to him. Now he gives the message to him. The message of the fulfillment of the promise. And as the message is spoken to them, Sarah failed to recognize that word. She says, it's not possible. It's impossible because we are old. And I have passed my status of childbearing. And she also feel I have pleasure, so with my Abraham. That's what he says. But then, moment passes, something has happened to them. Let's read this. And Abraham journeyed from thence towards the south country and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur, and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah my wife, she is my sister. Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took her. Why should he take an old woman if she is old? But God came to Abimelech in the dream by night and said unto him, behold, thou art but a dead man. For woman which thou hast taken, she is man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her. So, you know, there's something has happened here. Here, previous verse, Abraham both look, they are all well stricken in life. And Sarah says, I'm an old woman, all this past. And she goes after some time to another territory. And the king looks at her and she wants to take her. That means obviously something physically has happened to them. You understand that? There is a change in their body has taken place. There is a change taken place physically in their lives. That is why when the promised word comes to them, the messenger came with the message. God came with the message and spoke to them. And as the word spoken, they received it. Because God says, is anything too hard for you, hard for me? But he says at the appointed time that she will have a child. Now remember, unlike Jesus, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, there was no such thing happened to Abraham and Sarah. This was a natural relationship. It's a natural relationship that took place between Abraham and Sarah to bring forth the child. It's not a miraculous relationship like the conception of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what happens is when the word was received by Abraham finally and Sarah, there was a change that took place in their physical body. That is why, you know, here, when they went to some place, this king, Abimelech, looked at Sarah, and said, my goodness, if people will know she, they will definitely take her, because he says, she is my sister. Because he felt, these people will kill me for her. If it is an old woman, you don't have to do that. You know? So what happens here really is, Sarah has changed physically. brothers and sisters, this is exactly what's going to happen when the seven thunders come before the bride of Christ. When they uttered what was sealed up. It is sealed up, it is not uttered, it is not written. When the minister of the seven thunders begin for the bride of Christ, and when they speak that word, like God spoke to Abraham, and say the time of life is coming, your body and my body is going to change. Like this. Because it has to take place for the fulfillment. There is no possibility of Isaac being born as a covenant, as a fulfillment of the promise of God, because the Bible says the flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. So there was a change in the body, physical change, in the bodies of Abraham and Sarah, physically. And that's why it says, chapter 20, verse 4, Abimelech had not come near her. He said, Lord, wilt thou slay me of the righteous nation? He was frightened. In the night, you know, before it happens, God warns Abimelech. So, can you see, brothers and sisters, we only see when you say Abraham, we think, okay, he was an old man, did a childbirth. No. God did something. You can see the way that God engineered a process of things in the life of Abraham. Came from Ur of Chaldees, came from Haran, came to the Canaan, circumcised, but before circumcision, changed the name of Abraham and Sarah, circumcised, then visited him and spoke the word to him, physically changed, and create condition for the fulfillment of the promise of God. It is same process that will take place in your life, in my life. When God brings us out of darkness into the light of God, and then we are born into the kingdom of the living God, and then in the baptism we take the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we take the name of the Lord Jesus Christ when we are baptized for the remission of sins. At that time that God engineers the fulfillment of the work of the name of God as designed for you and me to take place. And the perfection will begin to take place. We remember the nature of the original sin. We know the condition, what happens to Abraham, Adam and Eve, and the original sin. And thereby we begin to understand the gravity of that. And when we are ready, when the minister of the fivefold ministry comes and presents us and bring us to the perfection, bring us to the stature and the measure of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord will make sure once everything is ready, when the time of life comes for our body to be changed, the Lord will bring forth the ministry of those seven thunders to utter the what is not written. And as we hear that, like what happened with Abraham, as we hear that, this body will begin to get changed. That's the plan of God, and that's why God depicted this even in the Old Testament. Said he not unto me, she is my sister. King saying, that Abimelech saying. And she even herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of heart and innocence in my hands have I done this. Now, that Abimelech plead with the Lord. And the Abimelech said unto Abraham, what sowest thou that thou hast done this thing? Abraham said, because I thought surely, or the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. Remember, now don't do this what Abraham did. Chapter 20 verse 12, he said, Yet indeed she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not daughter of my mother. You know, sometimes how we try to sugarcoat the wrong things and justify it like Abraham did. You know, as a result of what Abraham did, he would have ended up in this disaster, if not for God. But he presented a sugarcoated definition of him. Sometimes we also do this. We try to, you know, particularly when we are doing false things, we try to, you know, justify when we do a wrong like Abraham did. Anyway, she is my sister, but he is not the, you know. So be careful how, you know, sometimes when we do that, please don't justify your wrongdoings, but with a rational arguments. Now we go back to Revelations 10. And he cried with a loud voice, and a lion roared, and he cried, seven thunders uttered the voice. And when seven thunders uttered, I was about to write, and he said, seal up them. So I have mentioned this very clearly in the previous messages, about the ministry of the seven thunders, which is a message which is not in the book of Revelation. Chapter 10, Revelation 10, 8 to 11. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, saying, go and take the little book which is upon in the hand of the angel which stand upon the sea, upon the earth. I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it, eat it. It make thy belly bitter and thy sweet in the mouth honey. And I took the little book and the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And I said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many people and nation and tongues and kings. The whole process John was involved in taking and eating the scroll is symbolic. John was told not only to eat but also to prophesy. You remember, John was not only told to eat, but he was told to prophesy after eating, before people and nations and tongues and kings. John himself is not coming back. You know, John is not going to come back to prophesy that. But the spirit that was in John will be fully surrendered vessels. It is the bride of Christ who will receive this, what was presented at that time to John. When the seventh seal is broken in heaven down here on earth, bride is going to begin to hearing her last minute instructions before seven thunders. What happened to Abraham, he was spoken and told him when it is going to happen. You know, Abraham waited for a long, long time. You remember, the process of waiting is enormous. And in the process of time, Abraham made many blunders. He thought Eliezer is going to be the heir to fulfillment. Then he thought the Ishmael is going to be heir to the fulfillment. But God took him out of all these things. In the same way that God deals with us, the seventh seal will not be broken, and seven thunders sound until the body of believers on earth meeting their all requirements. You see, God wants Abraham to fulfill certain requirements, and when that requirements are fulfilled only, that the final ministry is going to come even in our lives. God took Abraham through a process of fulfillment. You know, remember he said to Abraham, first thing he said to us, because he had done many blunders before, he had thought Eliezer is going to be the, yeah. God said no. He thought Ishmael is going to be there. God said no. And God looked at Abraham after that, when he was doing all these funny things, he told Abraham, I want you to be perfect, not like the doing these things. And that's exactly God tells us. We are going here, there and trying to understand many things. And then God brings us finally to a process of understanding the truth. And then he begins to reveal, that's what he told Abraham, be perfect. And then God engineers to change his name and engineers to understand the fall and God's expectations. So the ministry of the seven thunders, like God came to Abraham, it is for the bride of Christ. When the church become knowledgeable of the seventh seal, what is uttered by the seven thunders are going to be revealed to the bride. The thunders ministry is only for the end time bride. Remember that. I will explain to you some important things. There are three people came. There are three appeared before Abraham. But only one spoke to Abraham. And God, Abraham recognized him as Lord. But the other two was not for him. So the ministry of the seven thunders is not for the other people in the Christianity. It is only for the element of people who are called the bride of Christ. When the seven thunders are revealed to the bride church, there will not be any confusion, argument of the scriptures. They are going to be a people separated and set apart from the rest, all with one mind in perfect unity. As soon as the seventh seal is broken in heaven, it allows Christ the high priest to leave the intercessory position. You know, very soon the Lord is going to finish his intercessory work. The grace would be finished, a 2000 years of grace period. And that's why he says he had in his hand a little book and his right foot set on the earth. And when the seven thunders is a ministry of men of God, probably some of these people are God has already raised and they are getting ready, going to come upon the bride who are the perfect position to receive the divine revelation. This message by thunders will give the bride the rapturing faith. The bride is going to understand the hour of time of their departure. The rapturing faith, because Jesus said the flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. It says, we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. This is the promise. We are alive, we are going to be caught up together. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, in the last trumpet, the trumpet shall sound, the dead in Christ shall raise incorruptible, we shall be changed. So there is definite scripture that Paul says there is going to be a change physically going to take place in our life. We shall be changed. That's what the scripture says. When the seven thunders are sounded, it's going to bring something dynamic and beautiful for the bride. The bride, living element, will know the approaching moment of time, the glorious coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The living element of bride in her heart and mind be in a shape to receive what the Lord has for them. You see, God also, remember, he conditioned Abraham. First he got him out of Chaldees, got him out of Haran, got him to Canaan. Abraham made blunders. He tried to appoint Eliezer as the heir. He tried to make Ishmael as the heir. And God came to him and says, look, don't do these funny things. Be perfect before me. And then God began to change his name. And he says, you are not going to be like this anymore, trying to implement things of man. You are going to understand what I have prepared for you. And then God changed and bring him to a realm of understanding the original status of Adam. When he circumcised himself, you know, Abraham was circumcised at the old age. The Bible says he was old when he was circumcised. So he himself was circumcised. Then finally the Lord appeared to him like the ministry of the seven thunders and speaks the word. And as he speaks and as God leads him, without him the body has changed. And they have come to a position where they look like much younger in their body. You know, when we receive that word, probably our physical body is going to change. And many things will happen to us in the very shape of our physical nature. Remember this scripture. Seven thunders. You know, one thing is beautiful in the Bible is it is like a marriage. We are not creating a doctrine out of one verse. There's absolutely, because the Bible says, Jesus says, in agreement of everything has to have two. Then only it becomes the law of God or a teaching of God. So what is mentioned about the seven thunders, also mentioned in the Old Testament, in Zechariah 4:10. Who had despised the day of small things. You remember I mentioned that. We are in the day of small things. We are in the day of small things. Now smallest car has come. Smallest car has come from Tata. It's only 100,000 Indian rupees. When it comes here, it will be 300,000 rupees. Smallest car. See, there'll be more and more smaller scars that would come upon this. They are small things, for they shall rejoice and see the plummet in the hand of the Zerubbabel. You know, you remember I told you the fivefold ministry, what the fivefold ministry does. The fivefold ministry will bring us to the stature and the measure of the Lord Jesus Christ. Zerubbabel, he has a plummet, he measures, he sees whether it comes to right status. Zerubbabel is a prince of Judah. And then he says, those seven, they are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro throughout the whole earth. So there will be seven men that God would bring forth with these called the seven thunders, which is the fulfillment of this prophecy, the day of small things. When you and I come to the very stature of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the ministry of the fivefold ministry of the apostles, prophets and teachers, which is not all these prophets and apostles who call themselves. No, it is a gift given to the bride for the perfection, bringing them to the knowledge of the Son of God, bringing them to the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. And once they complete their task, you know, right now we have the fivefold ministry, but we fulfill the fivefold ministry. We are teaching, we are bringing the word to you, which is a fulfillment of fivefold ministry. Once that you are fully ready, like the caterpillar, fully eaten and finished, then the moment would come, those seven with the Spirit of God. You know, all of these people will have the fullness of the Spirit of God, like the two Jewish prophets that go to Jerusalem, Israel, like those 144,000 people. These seven men would have the anointing and the unction and the Spirit of God, and they run to and fro throughout the whole earth with a message like it was given to Abraham at that time. God is preparing the stage and the mind of the people who are going to be part of the bride. When the hour of those thunders come, they are going to be spiritually in shape and in condition to receive what those thunders speak. This word, the message, what the thunders utter has got to be something vitally informative to the bride. Something that gives her rupturing faith, her body is going to be changed. You know, when you and I hear somebody speaking the message, your faith is increased. You are willing to receive the power of God. You are willing to receive the healing and the provisions. And then remember this message. Once you come and receive that, there is going to be a dynamic change that is going to take place. 1 Corinthians 15. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not sleep, but we shall all be changed. Here is the scripture. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible. We shall be changed. So there is definite scripture which supports us and says there is going to be definite change in our lives physically. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. You remember, Jesus had the glorified body when he rose from the dead. When he rose from the dead, he had glorified body, but yet he could eat with them. He ate with the disciples, he broke bread with the disciples. You know, he was able to participate and fellowship. And he used to come to a room when they were praying, and the next moment he used somewhere else. That's the glorified body. Now you and I also would have the glorified body when the ministry of the seven thunders are begin to take place and speak that word to us. When the glorified body comes, it is a body that is designed by the Lord himself for us. Now remember, when that takes place, Now Abraham is physically changed and God is about to fulfill His divine plan. The scripture says, referring to who? Three people came. Out of three, one remained with Abraham, began to speak the word, which changed his life physically. And men rose from thence and looked toward the Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. Abraham went with them. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? Now again singular. The Lord is speaking, Lord is there. And seeing Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed of him. And the Lord said, because of the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah, because of their sin is great, very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have all done altogether according to the cry of it which come unto me, and I will know. Right. Now remember three. One, Abraham identifies as the Lord. Out of three, one identified by Abraham as Lord. The men turned their faces from thence and went toward the Sodom. Abraham stood before the Lord. Remember, three came. Abraham stood with the Lord. And the two went back to Gomorrah, Sodom and Gomorrah. Men turned their face from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And he said, behold, now I have taken upon thee to speak. Now remember, two people out of two went away. Now the Lord and Abraham is together. And I have appointed, now Lord is saying, now Abraham is speaking to the Lord. For adventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy. Now God said to Abraham, I am going to destroy this nation, this territory, this Sodom and Gomorrah. Now you remember Abraham loved his nephew Lot. Because Abraham did not have children. He was able to bring his nephew with him. He loved him. But you remember at one time they separated. He went to that side. Abraham came to this side. Now Abraham is there. They were part of the family. Lot was part of the Abraham family. But they separated at one point and went toward the greener pastures by Lot. But Abraham was very conscious of the Lot, and he's pleading for Abraham to the Lord. And the Lord, and he says, let not the Lord be angry, for I will speak yet, for adventure 10 shall not be found there. He said, I will not destroy even 10 say. So the 10 was not found there. I will show you that. He said, even if you have 10, he will not destroy. And the Lord went his way. As soon as he left communing with Abraham, Abraham returned to his place. So the Lord was with Abraham. Now, read the scripture. There came two angels. So three, one was with Abraham, two went to Sodom and Gomorrah. So this doctrine of Trinitarians is out, because you know that means the Father was with Abraham, Holy Spirit and Son went to Sodom and Gomorrah. There is no way that you can make a doctrine out of it. It says here, now the two angels came to Sodom evening. Lot sat at the gate of the Sodom, and Lot seeing them rose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And now remember here the verses 9-2. And he said, behold, now my lords. Right? Now Abraham looked at Lord and said, my Lord. Remember? He said, my Lord. But this Lot says, looking at these two people, lords. Right? So you understand what it means, the scriptures. You know, God always, when he fulfills some things, he do with angels. You know? God always, because Bible says angels are ministering spirits. When God do something on the planet earth, he always used the services of the angels to perform that. When he created Adam, the Bible says, let us make man. So it is not Father saying to the Son, it is, he is referring to all the angels.
in getting their assistance. Same way God said, when these people were building the Tower of Babel, God said, let us go down and confuse their language. So again He used angels. Same way, when Jesus was to be conceived, He used Gabriel to speak to Mary. And He came to Mary and said, Mary, blessed art thou among women. So it's the angel He used on all the earthly work He used, because they are ministering spirits.
So even in this case, behold now my Lord, return, I pray, into your servant's house and tarry all night and wash your feet. You remember these two people came and this city was so bad, you know. And they tried to, they got the message, there is nice looking men came and they were sodomized. They, you know, they are perversion, sexual perversion. And these people felt, you know, they were, you know, and they came to look for these men. You know that story. But we cut that story short. And these people says, now the message comes to Lot and say, for we will destroy this place because of the cry of them is waxed great before the face of the Lord, and sent us destroy it. And the Lord went out and spake unto his sons. Now angels comes and take the message. Now remember, the Lord spoke to Abraham after the process of time, right? He was not in this particular place called Gomorrah, but he was separated. Abraham was separated from Lot. He was part of the family. Lot was part of the family. Do you know, brothers and sisters, we are living in a time that God will bring that separation. God will bring that separation, and you would not be part of the group of people who are called, some people call themselves Christians with millions and hundreds of thousands of them, that God brings a separation. He bore the separation between Abraham and Lot. And Lot went towards that side, Abraham tarried there. And that's where the Lord dealt with him. You see, Bride of Christ is always like that. If you want to know the truth, if you want to know the revelation, you need to be where God wants you to be. So, this place was so bad, and God began to bring His messengers and warn about the judgment that is going to happen. Then Lot went out and spake to his sons-in-laws, which married his daughters. Get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. Look what they said. They seems as that mocked unto his sons-in-law.
You know, what are you talking? When Abraham said the angels are come and they are warned, is going to be destroyed. This is all nonsense. Do you believe this? So they ridiculed him. That's what happened to us today. When we talk about these things, people say, fine, they're all pure nonsense. Don't believe this. When we talk about the seven thunders are going to happen, we talk about this, what we speak here. When we speak about these teachings, particularly the original sin, particularly things of the kingdom of God, and also about the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, what these people, they ridicule us. They make various remarks about this.
Same way,
it came from his own family who ridiculed Lot.
So he... Remember, the world we live in
is another group of people. We have so many Christians in this world.
In the Revelation says, so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. I saw the woman sit on the scarlet colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having golden cup in her hand, full of abomination, of filthiness, of a fornication. We know the system. The woman represents the church, Roman Catholic Church, and she has the daughters, her daughters. The Roman Catholic system has so many daughters, all these evangelical and Pentecostal daughters, and the denominational daughters, women arrayed in purple and scarlet color, decked with gold and precious stones, and the filthiness of abomination.
What they teach is contrary to the word of God, contrary to the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, contrary to the will of the living God. They have all the abomination things, all the filthiness. They have fornicated with the world, with the things of the world. They bring forth things which is not right in the word of God.
And upon her forehead was name written, Mystery Babylon, the great mother of harlots, the abomination of the earth. You see,
when God saw Sodom and Gomorrah, He saw the filthiness of that place. Same way when God sees the world today, He sees the filthiness and the abomination created by the worldly system, particularly the Roman Catholicism, that has created this diabolical systems, programs in this world, which creates so much of chaos.
I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. When I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having the great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried with mighty strong voice and saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and become a habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean bird.
So the Sodom and Gomorrah was also like that. So bad that place. There was nothing about God there. Even the religion was merchandise. The religion was there not for understanding God, but make money.
Same way today,
we find the religious system. And they are absolutely, totally different to what you and I are trying to understand.
For all nations have drunk with the wine of her wrath, of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. The merchants of earth wax rich through abundance of delicacies. Same with fornication, sodomy, all these things were taking place in the Sodom and Gomorrah. So is the system, the veiled religious system, particularly led by Roman Catholicism and all the other religions. And I heard the voice from heaven, come out of her, my people, that ye may be not partakers of sins, and yet receive not her plagues.
So final warning, like he warned Abraham, final warning given to the Lot. Angels came and told Lot and his family, come out of this place, we are going to destroy this place. And the final warning will go very shortly to some of the seeds in the denominational churches. If there are genuine true seed of God, if they are genuine true seed of God, if they are part of the bride of Christ, a warning will go to them. And the Lord is telling, come out of her. There is no question that you can be in that and also still serve the Lord. There is no question. Because Bible says to come out. Then it's not necessary this scripture. You can't have that and this. There are some people who have both. But you cannot do that with God.
God is very specific. Why? He says, my people, if you are my people, be not partakers of all sins.
I must tell you frankly, all the denomination systems are not God-made. They are man-made. They work for an agenda of man. They work for a man's fulfillment of desires of man. They are there to not to fulfill the plan of God, but fulfill the diabolical plan of Satan.
That is why he says, be not partakers of her sins, that ye receive not the plagues.
You see, if you are going to be part of that category of people, there is going to be spots that are going to come upon your life. Because Jesus says, he looks for a bride without a spot or wrinkle. There are going to be spots that is going to come upon you if you are not going to be come out.
Then he says, her sins have reached unto heaven and God has remembered her iniquities.
So when God said, like Sodom, he is going to bring judgment upon this great Babylonian system, the woman, which is a false system, beast system, the mother and the harlot daughters, the denominator daughters, they are going to be judged by the Lord very shortly.
Remember this scripture Jesus said to us. Likewise, it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, drank. They brought their soul. They planted, they built. But the same day, the Lot went out of the Sodom. It rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even, now remember this verse. Even thus shall be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed.
Right? In the day where the Son of Man is revealed. Now you and I are living in the day where the Son of Man is revealed. You and I are living in the day of Son of Man is revealed to the bride. You remember the five virgins, five foolish, five wise virgins. And they all slumbered. They all slumbered until the time when the midnight, and there was a cry, and said, "Behold the bridegroom cometh. Behold the bridegroom cometh." And when the message came, they all waked up. And when they waked, the foolish found suddenly they don't have the light to see. Wise had the light. And the Bible says they went with the Lord. Brothers and sisters, and I said that the bride goes to Chupa. Chupa, in a marriage, I explained to you. In a marriage, when the bridegroom comes to bride's home, and after the ceremony is over, after she is married, she takes the name. When the marriage is officially finished, there are a lot of merrymaking that take place, and then once the knot is tied, then the bride and the bridegroom goes to Chupa. And in the Chupa, what happens? There is a revelation of the bridegroom to the bride. So what happens right now is, while all this beast system and denominations, they are dancing, they are clapping, they are speaking in tongues, there is a group of people which is very insignificant in their numbers, very small, and they come back to the Chupa of the Word of God, and where the Son of the Living God is revealing Himself. You know, bridegroom is revealing from the Scriptures who He is. Like the Lord revealed Himself to Abraham, you know, what is happening in Sodom and Gomorrah. In the Sodom and Gomorrah, there are merrymaking take place. There is a plurality of angels gone there to warn them, whereas God speaking to Abraham and fulfilling the message. So that's exactly what is happening right now even. Right now, the Lord, we are in the Chupa. We are in the Chupa of the Word of God. We have come because the midnight in the 1950s, the midnight has taken place. In the midnight, the message came and said, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." Remember three things. The Lord Himself shall descend with a shout. Shout finish. The shout came, and we have now really understood to come to the Word. And the shout message was the message saying, come back to the Word of God. Move away from all this falsehood. Come back to the original Word. Come back to the Chupa. And then after the shout, the voice of the archangel. The voice of the archangel is the ministry of the fivefold ministry. where you are brought here, in the word, you have understanding of the revelation of the Son of Man. We are in the day where the Son of Man is revealing to the Bride of Christ. And when the Bride of Christ received this revelation, now before the scripture here, 17:26, and Luke chapter 17 verse 26, it says, and as it in the days of Noah shall be also in the days of Son of Man. Right? So Jesus talks about 26, says, as in the days of Noah, so shall be the days of Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day Noah entered into the ark and the floods came and destroyed them all. So the Lord speaking here in two different eras. One is Noah's, another one is Lot's. Noah's time is during the floods. Abraham's time, the Lot time is two different times. This is Lot's time, this is Abraham's time, Adam's time. So here, I didn't write this year, but what happens is the previous scripture, 17:26-27, it talks about the Noah's days. Noah's time, what they were doing? They were eating, drinking, and marrying. Eating, drinking, and marrying. Now, is there anything wrong with that? Now, today we find here, they also did eat, but they did something more. What did they do? They bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But in the Noah's day, they did eat, drink, and marry. Is there anything wrong with that? No, nothing wrong with that. What was wrong with that? In Noah's time, there were two groups. One is Seth, other one is Cain. These are the two groups that was there. Right? And these two groups, God called the Seth's people sons of God. They were sons of men. Now what happened was, these two different people, they were Seth people, because Seth's people were godly people. Though they were fallen people, yet they believe in the Lord, because Adam passed all the revelation what he have towards these people. That is why in the sixth group, seventh from Adam, Enoch, the Bible says he walked with God and he was not God, took him. The last of the sixth was Noah. Last of the sixth line was Noah. And the Cain's people, they were ungodly people. They were only worried about something, what they were doing. They want to eat, drink, and be merry. You see, if you look at the animal world, you know, animals have prerequisite. They are main prerequisite to eat, drink, and be merry. They look for eating, they want to eat, they want to drink, they want to look after their small ones, but beyond that they don't do anything. They don't listen to music, they don't want to look, go and see a cricket match. They are only happy with eating and drinking, and you know, that's what their priority is, the animal world. Nothing beyond that they do. But these people also like that. Their main purpose was like the animals. Like in the jungle, they eat, they are happy when they are fully eaten, and they drink, and they marry, their generation is kept. They look after their young ones. That's the purpose. But these people were beyond that. They have the knowledge of God. They seek the Lord. So naturally, Cain comes from the serpent, the animal. So in the same way that in our lives also, if our lives are more focused on eating and drinking and, you know, the worldly affairs, then it is the priority like the jungle. You know, there is no difference between that. But if we are seeking the Lord, there is a difference to human beings. The human beings are different from animals, the purpose, because we have a soul which seeks the Lord, unlike the animal. You never see animals getting up and praying or doing anything like that. So what happens here is, in the Noah's time, the Noah's people, Seth's people were godly people. And when they were growing, their dresses changed, their culture, what they eat was changed, what they were eating was different, their dresses were different, they looked totally different in their backgrounds. Whereas Seth's people are different, Cain's people are different. They are totally different what they dressed. So when this population increased, and suddenly the Bible says, the sons of God looked at the daughters of men, and there was this change took place. They were mixing with one another, so the knowledge of God was lost. When the knowledge of God was lost, they were living and eating only for that. You remember, Cain's people, they built big towers, and they called their name. They were a lot of experts in various things, in various fields, in engineering, in art and craft, they were experts. So they were trying to make a name for themselves. They were giants, they were big people. They call giants mean the big people, great people. It's not giants like this Goliath. They call giants mean they were great people, of learned people. So when they mixed with that, finally, the revelation of the knowledge was lost. And their life only focused on what the jungle, eating and drinking and making life, not beyond that, like what we have today. But then it comes to Noah's, Lot's time, they need much something more. They sold, they bought. They sold, they bought. Today look at the society, buying and selling, buying and selling. You buy less, sell more. Buying something for less and sell more. We are also buying. You know, I'm also buying. I'm also selling. I work for a place, I sell myself to my bank, and they pay for me. So we all do that. We are also buying and selling. But there's nothing wrong with that. But what happens is, look at the whole society today. The whole society is focused only on this. They sold, they planted, they bought. You see, in fact, today even Christians, they are selling. So-called, so many people are selling the gospel. They are buying the gospel. Some people are buying the gospel. Some people are selling the gospel. We know so many people who are, of course, with God channel. How they earn money, how they ask people to donate money. Benny Hinn, he travels in a helicopter, his own private jet. He stays in the most luxurious room in any particular hotel. He doesn't work like us and earn. It is the money that God's people give that he lives that luxurious life. Dinakaran comes and says, when he comes, if you want to get his prayers, if you want him to pray for 1 week, you have to pay $10. 1 month, $50. 1 year, $1,000. If you want Dinakaran's prayers. That's the way they project themselves. They are buying, they are selling. Until the time when the fire came. So brothers and sisters, there is going to be a definite judgment that is going to take place. A great tribulation that is going to come upon this planet Earth. There is going to be judgment that is going to begin. Remember what happened to you. Because we are living in the day where the Son of God is revealed. That's what the Bible says. Even thus shall be when the day Son of Man is revealed. People are focusing on the more commercial, more things than other than that. Even if you go to Pentecostal churches or denominations, if you talk about godly things, they don't have time. Brothers and sisters, I must tell you, in fact, today one brother who came to morning service said, in Africa, there is a cemetery. In the cemetery, they have put the names of people, so and so died, this day died at the age of 70, 80. And in the underground, say duration 2 years, duration 6 months, duration 3 years, duration, you know. So they ask, what is this duration? I said, that is the duration they have come to know the Lord. That's the period of time. They were 80, 3 years only duration of the Lord. You see, same with us. Brothers and sisters, I told last time, when you spend the time with the Lord, make your body, soul and mind is involved with the Lord. And also on Sunday, make sure that you give this day to the Lord. One day of the week, make sure that you have your timing goes right with the Lord. Don't put God second. Put Him as the number one priority. Don't try to put Him as the, after all, I do all these things, I will do that. Put Him as number one. I know there are so many things that you need to look at, but make sure that when you do that, the Lord would reward you.
So what happens here? In the day when He which shall be upon, you know, God tells here, in that day which shall be upon, how it stops. And in other words, He's saying, don't,
when these things happen, now it's a warning goes to the Lord's family. And also to us saints, when these things happen, don't try to be more engrossed in the worldly affairs.
What happened to
Lot's wife? Now in Lot's family, how many people were there in Lot's family? You remember how many people? Lot's family, Lot and his wife, two daughters, all together. We have Lot here, his wife, two daughters, and their husbands. So altogether 6 people. How many people escaped? 3. You know, these people rejected Lot's invitation. And then what happened to Lot's wife?
Because you remember here, here we find that when Lot was called, he also tarried long. When he waited for a long time, when they called him, he waited for a little time. When Lot was called, I lifted the scripture. So the Lot also delayed.
The Bible says he delayed. When the Lot was asked to come, he delayed. Because Lot was also focused more on the city. And angels will have to pull him out. Angels have to pull him out. And that's, you know, that's what happened to us also sometimes. The Lord has to bring drastic things when we are engrossed in some things that doesn't really fulfill the plan of God. So that when angels told him, get ready and come, he was also lingering. The Bible says he was lingering. He was like, you know, wondering whether to go or not. When God speaks, Bible says, when God speaks, harden not your heart. You remember when the children of Israel, when they were moving out of the nation of Egypt, they were doing it in haste. They were doing it in haste with their shoes on their feet. And then the Lord says, remember the Lord's wife. You know, this lady go engrossed in this lovely city. And finally, she became a pillar.
Of, you know, I found this picture in that same book. They say here, this is the traditional, they have found this is the pillar. of which Lot's wife became through the tradition, generation, they have identified this particular piece of earth or the rock as the pillar that was Lot's wife. So brothers and sisters, I think the message is loud and clear to all of us.
What happens there is the Lot, something he lost. Lot lost something. He did not get what he wanted. The Lot lost. In the same way, the foolish virgins are like the Lot. He is going to lose. Lot lost his wife and his part of his family. Whereas Abraham, nothing happened to him. The fulfillment came to him. God's fulfillment came to him. Whereas loss being there, he suffered loss. So what happens is, you and I are going to be rulers and kings and princes of the Lord ruling this millennium period. Whereas the foolish virgins are going to lose that opportunity, like Lot lost this right, because he moved to that place. He survived together with his daughters, two of his daughters and himself. There's something for the foolish virgin to lose in this world. They are not going to have that inheritance what God has prepared for Abraham. What title that God has designed for him is not going to be there. The Lot is identified with the foolish virgins who will go through that process. They will of course be saved. You know, the foolish virgins are going to be saved, but they are going to suffer loss of their things that God has planned for them. You remember Noah's time, before Noah went through the floods, Enoch was taken. Enoch did not go through that. He was taken away. So it is, Noah went through the floods. Abraham moved away and God fulfilled his promise. Lot faced the situation, judgment, the impact of the judgment of God he faced. So when the tribulation come upon this planet earth, during that seventh period, the foolish virgins are going to feel the impact, the heat of that judgment on the world, Lord. And they are going to lose their lives for the sake of the Lord. They are going to lose their life for the sake of the Lord. Otherwise, they will have to be part of the system. They will be totally lost. They will be totally lost otherwise. But the foolish virgins, when they went, when the bridegroom came, they went. And the door was closed. Door to revelation was closed. And the Lord says, I know you not. Same way, you and I are living in a time when the Lord is revealing it. Foolish virgins are with the merchants, oil merchants. They are buying and selling. They are buying the gospel. Oil merchants are selling. And we are like the wise virgins in Chupa understanding. Remember, Abraham, the Lord deals with him. The Lord reveal himself, reveal his plan, fulfill his plan, change him and brought him as he was fulfilled the entire divine plan of God. Whereas Lot, because of the sake of Abraham, you know, they were with us. These foolish virgins are also part of the family. They are also part of the family. There are so many Christians today. They call themselves born again Christians. But they are part of the worldly denominated system. Of course, they will go through this tribulation time. They would have eternal life. But they would be deprived of the ability to reign and rule like you and I, who are going to be part of the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Brothers and sisters, as we meditate on this
revelation. Think about Abraham. Abraham was moved away from Chaldees, Ur of Chaldees. And I'm sure that you are being moved away from the same way by the Lord. We are moved away from Chaldees to Haran. And the Haran you have further moved away from the, your worldly associates and family. And you are brought to the Haran, to the Canaan.
And in Canaan, God speaks to you and says, "My son, my daughter, do not meddle with the silly things in life. I want you to be perfect." And God has given the ministry of the fivefold ministry to make ourselves perfect in the Lord. And then the Lord, through that, bring us to the awareness that our sinful nature, the original sin, that, and then He circumcises our heart and fills us with the Holy Spirit, and we are brought to the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are brought to the full stature, and the Zerubbabel in His hand the plummet, and He measures it. And as we are in the day of small things, the Lord would soon raise these men that come upon the face of the earth with the message for us. And where we would receive that message, our life would be changed. And we would have the rapturing faith. And this will take place.
What is happening in the world? God is despising the world. He is degrading what is happening in the world. It is very unpleasant to him. Unpleasant to him. And there is going to be judgment upon these foolish virgins and the world. We are thankful to the Lord. Lord has given this wonderful opportunity to you and me to be in the chupa and understand and have the revelation of the Son of the Living God, the fullness of His knowledge. Be thankful to the Lord. We bless you, Lord. We magnify you, Lord. We glorify you. We thank you. We bless your holy name, Father. Father, we thank you for this wonderful time, day of the Lord, that you dedicated for us, Lord. We are thankful to you, Lord. We have come to the evening of this day, and you have given this wonderful option to understand your holy word. Present the truth of thy holy word, Father, as we are in the day of the revelation, Lord. And I pray, Lord, this word that was presented, Lord, would nourish us and bring us to the very nature and the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you would begin to minister, Lord, this coming week. The week, my Father, we know in the world there is going to be times of distress, times of confusion, times of calamities, times of uncertainties. But we are thankful to you for the word that was given to us, Lord, that you would keep us as the apple of thine eye, and you would hide us under the shadow of your wings, Lord. And you will let your face shine upon us all the time. And I thank you, Father, that you would go before us, behind us. There is going to be victory upon us all the time. Pray in Jesus' name. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. May His presence go before you, beside you. May He fulfill His divine plan and purpose. May He hold you by His right hand. May He keep you in the palm of His hand. May He let His face shine upon you all the time, giving you victory over every situation, circumstance you face. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless you.